Chapter 21. The Inevitable Citadel. The ancient bronze gates burst from their hinges with a scream of tortured metal. The azure galley passed through the fire and smoke, propelling itself on stalking bolts of lightning. Where the ship passed, it left a trail of destruction behind it. Demons burned in its wake, their dolorous cries echoing down the length of the canal. Rotflies fell twitching from the air, their wings burnt to cinders by the holy radiance. The sludgy waters boiled away to a foul mist, and the walls buckled as lightning played across them. The water-spewing gargoyles toppled from their perches, and water spewed through the walls. Arrows fell from the inverted ramparts above, and the stormcasts responded in kind. Explosions rocked the noisome air as crackling skybolt arrows met those of the demon archers. The baleful engines on the vertical bulwarks vomited streams of green flame, which dissipated as they splashed across the cobalt vessel's hull. Crouched by the mast, Taunus braced himself as another burst of green flame washed over the hull. The ship rocked slightly, but did not falter. Taunus sought out Morbus, standing atop the stern, his staff planted before him. Head bowed, the Lord Relictor took notice of nothing save his prayers. A sapphire radiance shone from him, almost blinding in its intensity. The shapes of fallen stormcasts stood arrayed about him, as if warding him from harm. Taunus saw Kadok among them, his soul burning as brightly as the beacon he'd carried. Someone caught his arm, startling him. He turned and saw Enyo.
"It is time, brother. They are coming, and we must clear the way."
Taunus nodded and glanced down at his quiver of arrows. It had refilled itself upon Torglug's second demise, but slowly, and not to its fullest capacity. If one was connected to the other, he did not know, but he was glad that the enchantment had been restored. He had a feeling he was going to need all the arrows he could get. He followed Enyo to the prow, where they were joined by Tegris and his prosecutors. Matthias and Azar were the only two of the winged stormcasts remaining, besides the sainted Eye. They both carried heavy shields, claimed from the bodies of fallen liberators. Tegris had a warblade strapped to his back, its hilt rising between his wings, and a hammer in each hand. A filthy bandage was tied tight about his thigh, where the Sigmarite had been broken by a blow from a plaguebearer's blade.
"Let us be about it," Tegris said. "I grow weary of the scenery here."
Enyo laughed.
"Your forbearance is impressive. I was weary of it not long after we arrived."
She gestured to her star eagle.
"And poor Periphas hasn't stopped complaining."
Taunus glanced up at his own companion, perched on the rail above. Osphinus screeched and flapped his wings, as eager in his own way as Tegris was. Gardus was waiting for them on the forward deck, Talon by his side as ever.
"We cannot stop, not now, so give them something to worry about."
He spoke confidently, though Taunus noted there was tension there as well. They were close now, they could all feel it. To fail here would be worse than to have never come at all.
"Act swiftly. Morbus cannot keep us in the air for much longer. We must reach the inner sanctum of this place soon."
He unsheathed his runeblade.
"Who will be victorious?"
"Only the faithful,"
Taunus said. The others echoed him. Gardus nodded.
"Only the faithful. Now, go."
He swept his sword out and pointed. Taunus and the others advanced to the tip of the prow, breaking into a run as they drew close. As one, they leapt into the air and sped away from the galley. A single flap of Taunus's wings was enough to carry him out ahead of the ship. Azar kept pace, if barely. Enyo shot past them, already knocking an arrow. A wedge of enemy galleys sailed down the canal towards them. Among the ships was a familiar vessel, the one they'd been chasing since they'd arrived. That it was here now was a good sign. It meant the Lord Castellant was somewhere nearby as well. The black galley hung back slightly, letting the others pull ahead. Above the galleys, a swarm of plague drones spread, blanketing the air. Taunus banked and pulled up short, trusting in his wings to hold him aloft. He drew, knocked, and loosed in a blur, filling the air with death.
Ennio did the same, clearing space for the two prosecutors to use their shields to bash themselves and Tegras apart towards the lead galley. At the last moment, they broke apart, rolling away and allowing Tegras to hurtle downwards. His hammer spun and tore gaping wounds in the deck. The sainted eye swooped upwards and away, having made his pass. The galley wallowed, smoke gushing from below decks. The prosecutors moved to repeat their tactics on the next vessel, trusting in the two night venators to watch over them. Taunus twisted and spun through the air, loosing arrows as fast as he could. As the azure galley drew close, many of the plague drones broke off and plunged towards it like moths to a flame. Taunus let them go, turning his attention to the ships below. Balefire arrows sped upwards, but fell back, uselessly, unable to reach the flying warriors. The prosecutors didn't have to get close to employ their celestial hammers, and they reaped a heavy toll on the ships below. But the black galley yet remained, as if waiting for something. Pox cauldrons had been set up on its decks, and a foul smoke rose into the air above it. Ennio swooped by, picking off the crew of a wallowing vessel one by one. Taunus sped after her.
"There! That one!" he cried. "It is being the one we are chasing."
"I see it,"
she said. They flew towards it. Plague drones dropped towards them from above, the demonic riders thrusting at them with wide-bladed spears. Taunus caught a spear just behind the blade and jerked its wielder out of the saddle, sending the demon plummeting to the canal below. More rotflies closed in, the plague-bearers on their backs, waving festering blades enthusiastically. Ennio dipped away from a darting proboscis and sent an arrow thudding into the insect's bulbous eye. Taunus lost sight of her as another fly slammed into him, its serrated claws scrabbling at his warplate. Osphinus shrieked and tore at its head, eliciting a high-pitched buzz of agony. Taunus snatched an arrow from his quiver and rammed it into the insect's brain, silencing it. Its rider hewed at him, even as the creature fell away, carrying the plague-bearer with it. The galley was just below them, attempting to nudge its way past two other wrecked vessels. Whoever its captain was, he seemed determined to reach his goal, regardless of the consequences. The poison smoke from the pox cauldrons on deck had forced the prosecutors to fly lower than they intended, and a fusillade of arrows rose to meet them. A moment later, Taunus realized the strategy at work. Several of the demons on the deck carried heavy nets, weighted by chunks of stone. Azar, forced to swoop low by a volley of arrows, became tangled in one of the nets and plunged to the deck. Taunus dropped after him without hesitation. As the prosecutor slammed into the deck of the ship, plague-bearers converged on him with chortles of glee. Taunus reached him mere moments before the demons did. He clubbed one from its feet with his bow and whistled for Osphinus. The Star Eagle streaked down, talons spread. Taunus swung his bow in a wide arc, driving the crowd of demons back. Arrows sprouted from the deck in a circle about them, and several demons fell. Ennio struck the master of the ship and perched there, an arrow knocked.
"Cut him loose!"
she shouted, as she sent a plague-bearer tumbling over the rail, an arrow transfixing its throat. She pushed away from the mast and shot away, out over the deck. Taunus followed her advice while the crew was otherwise distracted. As Taunus tore away the net, Azar uttered a muffled warning. Taunus spun, bow raised. An axe slammed down against it. A familiar, hulking figure was behind it.
"Quicker than lightning, aren't ye?"
Gutrot Spume gurgled.
"Oh, so ye fancy yourself. But even lightning can be bottled with a bit of skill."
"I am being quick enough," Taunus said, straining against the weight of the axe.
Torglug had confronted Spume more than once during the many wars that ravaged the Jade Kingdoms. The pirate had been a braggart even then, boasting of conquests beyond the stars and beneath the seas. And unfortunately, he had the strength to back up those boasts, and a certain raw cunning. Spume's tentacles writhed, slipping away from the haft of his axe and about Taunus's bow. With a guttural laugh, he jerked Taunus off his feet and sent him flying.
He butchered the rest of the fleet good and proper, but I'm made of sterner stuff than that.
Spume raised his axe as Taunus clambered to his feet.
I'll collect a tally of silver helmets and make them into chamber pots for my crew.
Taunus didn't waste breath replying. He leapt backwards, avoiding the blow. He heard a shout and saw Enyo dragged down by several plaguebearers. Her wings sliced through the nets that tangled her, but she was quickly surrounded. Spears splintered on her armor, driving her back. Tegras and Matthias swooped to her aid. He lost sight of them as Spume slashed at him again, nearly sending him over the rail.
I knew ye winged mossbrains would come first, so I planned accordingly. I'll gut ye and hang your wings from my mast.
He turned.
But first, to stop that glowing scowl from getting any further, bring out the worm bows, ye lubbers!
5 massive shapes clambered up from the lower decks, grunting and slobbering. Taunus recognized the creatures as ogors, despite the malformations which afflicted them. Their pale green flesh was puffy with inflammation, and iron muzzles were hooked into the flesh of their jaws. Heavy-limbed and scarred by branding marks and obscene runes, the hairless brutes wore iron collars and manacles, which bound their thick hands to their barrel chests. On their broad backs were mounted heavy ballistae. Plaguebearers crouched on their shoulders, manning the siege weapons. Heavy loops of anchor chain clattered from the barbed heads of the ballistae bolts. The loose ends of the chains were swiftly affixed to rings set in the decks by chanting slaves. Taunus grasped the nature of Spume's scheme immediately.
Talbion, he muttered.
Memories of fire and blood surfaced, and an old guilt with them. He glanced back and saw the azure galley sweeping towards them, heedless of any threat.
Aye, so you've heard of my exploits then, Spume chuckled. How I hooked and plundered those flying islands for their treasures. And I'll do the same here. I'll drag that flying boat down and drown her crew in filth, as Grandfather wills.
His axe thudded down, nearly taking off Taunus's arm. As Taunus twisted aside, Spume turned and howled,
Fire!
The wormbows fired with a great creaking. The barbed bolts flew upwards and thudded into the hull of the galley. The ogors shuffled back, pulling the chains taut. Spume laughed and spun his axe, nearly decapitating Taunus. His laughter ceased as the galley did not stop, nor did it slow. Instead, lightning crept down and played across the deck, incinerating demons and scorching the rotting wood. The black galley shuddered as it was slowly dragged around by the momentum of the flying vessel. Spume stared upwards in stunned silence.
No!
He snarled.
No! Quick, ye lubberwarts, up the blasted chains!
Demons scrambled for the chains, intending to climb them and board the vessel above. But cobalt fire spread down the chain, one link at a time. The first demon to make the attempt reeled back, arms crumbling to ash. Spume cursed and began to shout for them to cut the chains. Taunus took advantage of his distraction and slammed his bow across the back of Spume's head, staggering him. Abruptly, the stern of Spume's vessel rose out of the water as the glowing galley bypassed it. Lightning crawled across the deck, and the sails burned. Demons and slaves slid or fell towards the prow as the deck timbers began to splinter. The mast swayed, dangerously close to snapping in two. Spume rounded on Taunus as the latter rose into the air with a flap of his wings. The Rotbringer's tentacles caught his leg, and Taunus was forced to carry him upwards. Beneath them, the black galley split in two with an agonized groan.
Took my ship! I'll take your head!
Spume roared, waving his axe. A glowing arrow, blazing with celestial energies, sank into the open beak of the Kraken. The star-fated arrow tore Spume free of Taunus's leg and hurled him into one of the canal walls. The pirate struck the wall hard enough to crack the ancient stonework and fell into the scummy waters with an echoing splash. Taunus gave Enyo a nod of thanks as she flew towards him, followed by Tegras and the others.
I did not hit him clean, she said. Even with an arrow such as that, he might yet survive.
If so, we have no time to hunt him down. Look, Tegras said.
He pointed to the archway at the end of the canal, where two massive, great unclean ones, in heavy armor, waded towards the approaching galley, weapons in hand. With a sinking sensation, Gardas recognized the creatures wading towards the galley.
Rotguard, he said.
The armored demons had dealt the Hallowed Knights heavy losses in the Gytract Fen, and again later in the Athelweard. They were preeminent among the warriors of Nurgle's sevenfold legions.
At least there are only two of them this time, Feros said, raising his hammer. Seven was a bit many, even for us.
Despite the apparent humor, Gardas sensed the underlying tension in the Retributor Prime's tone. The Rotguard had been responsible for Feros's reforging, crippling the warrior so badly that Gardas had been forced to grant him the mercy of death. He glanced at the heavy hand. They had never spoken of that moment. Did Feros even remember what Gardas had done? The Retributor Prime looked at him.
I'll have the one on the left. He looks rambunctious.
He thumped the haft of his lightning hammer against the deck.
With your permission, obviously.
Obviously, Gardas said. Stay your hand for the moment. He turned, sword raised.
Solus, slow them down. Aetius, bring your shields up here.
Easy enough,
Solus said, motioning several of his judicators to the prow. The rest of the archers continued to loose volley after volley into the inverted ramparts overhead, or at the plague drones that pursued them.
Aim for the visors, brothers and sisters,
Solus continued, as he and Aetius led their warriors to the prow rail.
Nothing distracts better than an arrow to the eye.
The judicators began to loose as soon as they reached their new positions. Sizzling arrows struck the approaching behemoths, scorching their armor and blistering their sagging flesh. But the demons didn't slow. Instead, they hunkered behind their great shields and continued to wade towards the galley. Displaced water slopped against the walls of the canal as the demons advanced into the volley.
Tactics, Solus took aim. I hate it when they're smart. They're just using shields, Aetius protested. It's hardly a cunning stratagem. You use a shield? Yes, but that's different.
Oh? Solus said, tracking the closest of the demons. It was moving slightly ahead of its fellow, by a hair's breadth.
Yes, Aetius insisted. There's a subtlety to it that... Shh! I'm aiming!
Solus loosed his arrow. It struck the immense shield of the closest Rotguard and ricocheted off to vanish behind the shield of the other. The demon gave a blood-curdling cry and staggered, shield dipping. For an instant, it left itself open. The judicators loosed without prompting. Arrows pierced rotting flesh. The demon roared again, shaking its head, momentarily deterred. The other continued to advance. It swung its great flail and struck the hull of the galley, causing the vessel to shudder. Then it cast aside its shield and reached for the rail, as if to hold the ship in place. Gardas sheathed his runeblade, grabbed the rail, and vaulted over, ignoring the shouts of Feros and the others. He dropped onto the head of the great unclean one, bringing his hammer down in the same instant. A thunderous crack sounded, and the crude helmet split down the center, sliding away from the monstrous skull. Dazed, the demon dropped its flail and groped for him. Gardas ignored it and struck again. Unnatural flesh tore and bone splintered. The Rotguard stumbled back against the wall of the canal.
Fall!
Gardas snarled as he battered aside its hands and brought his hammer down a third time.
Fall, damn you!
Thunder rolled, and the demon slumped with a groan of protest. The galley slipped past it. The second Rotguard had recovered, and it lurched towards its companion, flail swinging. Gardas jumped, and the Rotguard pulverized the head of its fellow. Gardas hit the edge of the canal with a crack. Pain shot through him, but he pushed it aside and clambered to his feet. The dead Rotguard collapsed in on itself, its body venting noxious gases. The remaining demon turned ponderously, flail swinging. Gardas threw himself out of the way as the weapon cracked down, splintering the stones of the canal. It swatted at him with the rim of its shield, trying to crush him, and he dropped to the ground. The shield slammed into the wall, sending jagged chunks of stone crashing down. Panting, he clambered to his feet. He was at a disadvantage. The creature had size and strength on its side. But as long as it was concentrating on him, it wasn't paying attention to the others. Out of the corner of his eye, Gardas saw the galley passing through the gateway. The Rotguard loomed over him, flail swinging. Arrows sprouted from its helmet, distracting it. A moment later, a winged shape dropped down onto its head. A warblade sang down, piercing the helmet and the head within. Tegras gave the blade a twist and ripped it free. The Rotguard toppled into the canal with a grumbling sigh.
"Lord Celestant, do you require aid?"
the Prosecutor Prime said, the body of the demon settling beneath him. Foul gases spurted from its folds of fat as it dissolved. Overhead, the remaining prosecutors, as well as Ennio and Tornus, circled.
"A lift would be appreciated,"
Gardas said, waving the miasma aside.
"Then be taking my hand, Steel Soul," Tornus called out as he swooped low.
Gardas reached up and was yanked off his feet by the Knight Venator. They sped after the galley. Behind them, what was left of the enemy fleet was in disarray, unable to pursue. They caught up with the galley a few moments later. Past the archway, the canal spilled into an enormous amphitheatre. The air reverberated with the sound of plague bells and the thudding of drums. Swarms of flies spun lazily overhead in an infernal dance. Hordes of demons were arrayed before them, armed for war. Their droning chants duelled with the noise of the bells for prominence. Behind the serried ranks, black smoke billowed upwards from the mouth of a cistern. The galley shuddered in its flight. The cobalt fires flickered, flared, and began to dim. Morbus's spell was fading. The galley dipped, its prow crunching into the ground with a booming crack. Lightning roared out, ricocheting amongst the ranks of demons. Ancient statues crumbled as the power of Azir washed over them. The galley bulled forwards, smashing aside anything in its path as it carved a smouldering trench through the stonework. A great unclean one staggered away, body aflame. Plaguebearers were incinerated mid-chant. The massive beams that rose against the walls cracked and splintered as lightning played across them. Gardas said a prayer for those still aboard, even as Tornus carried him in pursuit. The galley came to rest at the edge of the cistern. A conflagration of sapphire flame roared up, swirling into the air. Tornus dropped Gardas to the ground as Morbus led the survivors out of the inferno. The fire had burned their armor clean of filth, and as Gardas and the others approached, it did the same to theirs. Morbus alone remained alight after leaving the fire. Even his reliquary staff was aflame. The blue fire flickered and snapped, and as it did so, Gardas felt the light within him respond. He had been glowing since they'd entered the citadel, but now it blazed as brightly as it had the day of his reforging. He looked around, counting the survivors. Barely 20 left now. It would have to be enough. He let his hand fall to the hilt of his runeblade.
"Who will dare walk through the fire?"
"Only the faithful,"
Morbus intoned, his voice echoing within itself. The souls of all those within him spoke as he did. He struck the ground with his staff. Lightning shimmered along the stones.
"We are the faithful, and the light of Azir shines upon us wherever we make our stand."
Gardas turned. The demons were massing anew, regrouping in the wake of the galley's passage.
"Any sign of him?"
"His soul fire is close," Morbus said. "He is here."
"Good. I would hate for this to have been all for nothing."
Gardas surveyed the forces arrayed against them.
"Was this a mistake, Morbus?"
Morbus was silent for a time. Then,
"No. I think I know this was meant to be."
Before Gardas could ask him what he meant, a commotion among the ranks of the enemy drew his attention.
The ranks of demons parted, allowing a massive palanquin borne by hundreds of chained souls to pass through. On the palanquin, a singularly enormous great unclean one lolled, clad in filthy robes of office and rust-splotched ceremonial armor. Seven antlers sprang from its round Batrachian skull. They met above its head to form the tripart rune of Nurgle. A monocle of stained glass rested in the folds of one swinish eye. A large sword lay across its knees, its sheath made from the shaggy hide of some great beast. Worst of all, however, was the silver shape that hung crucified from the front of the palanquin. Loras Grimm was shrouded in chains, his head bowed, his body limp. Nurglings clung to him with almost affectionate possessiveness, their giggles audible even at a distance.
"Welcome, Garadan! Welcome!" the great unclean one boomed. "Long have I desired to meet the soul who ran Bolothrax to his doom and banished poor Pupa Grotes."
The demon heaved itself up on its palanquin, causing the enslaved souls beneath to moan in agony.
"Both of them dear friends, it must be said. Brothers of Boyle and Bubo, if not blood."
One great yellow eye narrowed in a conspiratorial wink.
"Still, bygones, eh?"
Gardas did not reply. Instead, he sank to one knee and began to pray. As one, the Stormcasts fell into battle formation. Liberators moved to the fore to shield the remaining Judicators. Pharos and his warriors surrounded Gardas. Morbus stood apart from them all, silent and watchful. Molten sigmarite dripped from his hands and torso, forming a smoking puddle on the stones. The demon cupped a hand to its head and said,
"Are those please I hear?"
It slapped its belly and laughed jovially.
"Too late for that, my friend. Far too late. You have well and truly wedged yourself into this mire, and all of your free will."
Gardas closed his eyes. He continued to pray, letting the words layer over one another. Let the creature talk. He was building a wall, one prayer at a time. As he prayed, he wondered if Morbus was right. Had this all been preordained? Was this Sigmar's will? But to what purpose? Was it simply a show of defiance, or something more? The demon was still talking.
"I have been remiss. Allow me to introduce myself. I am called Father Decay. I am a lord of the Court of Ruination and the Hand of Nurgle, and I am the architect of your destruction."
The demon waited, as if expecting applause. When it received no response, save silence, it removed its monocle, rubbed it on its robes, replaced it, and leaned forwards on its palanquin.
"Well, have you nothing to say, Garadan? From the very first moment you dared set foot in the garden, I have teased you and tweaked you, drawing you further into my grasp. I had my poppet draw you in and away from the Gate of Weeds. Even now, my servants attack through that portal you so obligingly left open."
Still silence. The demon said nothing Gardas hadn't already known. If it thought to dishearten him, it had severely misjudged him. The remaining Stormcasts stood like statues, arrayed for battle along the rim of the pit. Then Taunus stepped forwards. His steps rang like a hammer strike on an anvil. He drew an arrow from his quiver as he walked. Gardas made to stop him, but a look from Morbus stilled his protest. This, too, was meant to be.
"He is having nothing to say to you, monster, but I am. And who might you be,
Father Decay grumbled, all trace of its former good humor gone.
I do not wish to waste words on some little soul. Wait.
It made a show of sniffing the air.
You smell familiar. We are meeting once in another life.
Tornus lifted his arrow. Father Decay squinted.
And what is that? It is being the weed in Nurgle's garden.
Faster than the eye could follow, Tornus knocked and loosed the star-fated arrow. It shattered the demon's monocle and pierced the eye behind it, eliciting a deafening shriek of agony. The creature bucked on its palanquin, overbalancing it. Souls were crushed as the demon was dumped onto the ground. An enormous fist slammed down, shaking the ground and crushing several unlucky plaguebearers as the demon continued to bawl. Gardas's head snapped up, and he lunged to his feet. Behind him, the remaining judicators loosed their own arrows, sending the volley into the packed ranks of demons.
Enyo, retrieve our Lord Castellant,
Gardas said, as he started towards the wounded Great Unclean One.
Solas, Tornus, keep them off our backs. Ferus, Aetius, with me.
Demons tried to interpose themselves, but Aetius and Ferus smashed them aside, clearing Gardas a path. Father Decay heaved itself up, an oily ichor spilling from its ruined eye, and clawed for its sword.
You dare!
It snarled.
You dare strike the seventh son of Nurgle!
Its blade swept out in a murderous arc. Gardas twisted aside and summoned the enchantment in his war cloak. A barrage of glowing hammers struck the demon, punching steaming craters in its flesh. The sword slammed down, chopping through the ground. It became lodged in the moldy stones, and Gardas leapt onto it, swiftly scaling Father Decay's arm. The Great Unclean One's remaining eye widened as Gardas lunged, runeblade slashing out. The creature screamed as the blade opened the flesh of its face. It reeled, clutching at Gardas. He dropped to the ground and spun, hammer cracking against the demon's knee. Spongy bone ruptured, and the creature sprawled across the ground.
No! No! No!
Father Decay groaned as it tried to heave itself over.
This is not how the game is played. This is our place of power, our garden. It isn't fair.
This is not a game, Gardas said, striding towards the creature. It was never a game.
Cheat!
Father Decay vomited a stream of effluvial discharge. It steamed away to nothing as Gardas's light swelled. The demon covered its good eye and tried to squirm away.
No! You are cheating somehow! Cheating God! Thief! Usurper!
It continued to curse and moan, even as Gardas planted a foot on the side of its bloated skull.
We've already won! You can't change the way the game is played.
Its flesh sizzled and blackened as Gardas's light washed over it.
No!
It moaned.
No! I was promised victory!
It stretched a hand out towards the cistern.
Papa! Help me! Help your child!
There is no help for you. I have died and I live again. I am the light and the fire, and I will burn this garden clean.
A Tempestos hammer rose, its head crackling with energy. Father Decay's final shriek was cut short as the blow collapsed its skull. A cracked monocle rolled free of the decaying morass. Gardas turned. Demons massed on all sides, eager to avenge their fallen lord. Behind the ranks of plaguebearers, massive Rotguard lumbered into motion. Plague drones swooped overhead, and lolloping beasts appeared, yanking against the chains of their demonic handlers. 1,001 ways to die, with no reprieve in sight.
Aetius, get them into line, he barked. We make our stand here.
Well, it's not as if we can go anywhere else, is it?
Grim called out, as Ennio deposited him on the ground nearby.
Of all the idiotic, vainglorious things you could have done, you chose this one.
He sank down as Talon scrambled towards him, shrieking joyfully. He bowed his head, murmuring softly to the Griffhound for a moment. Then he looked up.
You shouldn't have come. It was obviously a trap.
Obviously, Gardas said.
He flipped his hammer around and extended the haft to Grim.
And yet, here we are.
Grim accepted the hammer with a nod of thanks.
I suppose we should make the best of it, then.
He glanced at Morbus, eyebrow raised.
You're on fire.
I hadn't noticed, Morbus said.
Grim didn't smile.
Spume?
We sank his ship, and Ennio put an arrow in him.
Seeing Grim's frown, Gardas shrugged.
We were in a hurry.
That's your problem. Always in a hurry. You never think.
Brother, while it is good to hear your voice, perhaps we should save the lectures for another time.
Gardas glanced at Tornus.
If it comes to it, I want you and Ennio to make for the Realm Gate as quickly as you can. There is no reason for all of us to perish here.
I am to be staying here,
Tornus said, drawing an arrow from his quiver.
Here is where I am supposed to be.
And I as well, Lord Celestant, Ennio said. You will need my bow.
Gardas looked at them and nodded.
So be it. Do what you can. We must...
Eh?
He turned at a shout from Tegris. The Prosecutor Prime had swooped out over the cistern and was now plunging back towards them. He struck the ground and rolled, clawing at his helmet. Pox smoke rose from his armor, and the silver was marred by black motes. Gardas knelt beside him, trying to help without knowing how.
Tegris, what is it?
It's coming,
Tegris said, his voice almost shrill. He thrashed, as if trying to free himself from the clutches of something only he could see. A moment later, a dull boom echoed up out of the cistern and washed over them. Gardas felt his heart pause in its rhythm and gasped, clutching his chest. Nauseated, he saw several Stormcast fall to their knees, retching. The demons had stopped their advance and fallen silent, seemingly expectant. Another boom, like the collision of distant stars. Gardas tasted blood. He'd bitten his tongue. Talon shrieked loud and long, every feather on the Griffhound's neck stiff and flared in fear.
What is that?
He asked, already knowing the answer.
The Lord of Flies himself, Morbus said.
The Lord Relictus strode past them towards the edge of the cistern. Gardas rose quickly and followed him, after waving the others back. They knew enough to hold their positions, unless otherwise ordered. Through the ragged shroud of smoke, Gardas saw what lay below the inevitable citadel, at the heart of Nurgle's garden. Almost immediately, he closed his eyes and turned away, unable to bear it. It was impossible to describe, impossible to comprehend. To his eyes, it was a wallowing swamp of black stars and dying worlds, of rotting galaxies alive with immense writhing shapes as large as nebulas. Cosmic maggots gnawing at the roots of infinity. Galactic plagues eating away at the very flesh of existence, reducing all that was to leprous ruin in their unending hunger. It was a dark mirror of Azir, corrupted, reduced, strangled. All glory vanished, all hope quashed. A thunder of screams echoed upwards, driving him back. A million, million voices raised up in anguish and despair, forever crying out for that which would never come. Again, the world shook. The reverberations were the death knell of the worlds below, Gardas knew, though he could not say how. Worlds claimed by Nurgle, realms older than Azir or Gairan, now broken and ground into filth. He felt sick.
He wanted to see the clean stars of Azir once more, even if it meant enduring the reforging. But still the voices cried out, crying for aid, for him.
Garadan, help us! It hurts. Why does it hurt? Everything is burning. Help us! Garadan! Garadan! Help us!
The voices assailed him from every side, filling his head, squeezing his heart. He staggered and felt Morbus's hand steadying him. Another tolling of the death knell. Down below, something began to crawl out of the black heart of that cancerous infinity. It was no shape, and all shapes. Fat and thin, a plume of smoke, a puddle of oil, spreading ever upwards. There were eyes in that smoke, as round as cold, dead suns, and teeth that stretched in a grin as wide as the horizon. Fingers, like comets, clutched at the void, as the Lord of all things stirred from his manse and began the long, arduous climb to his garden. Moons crumbled beneath that impossible bulk, and stars were snuffed out.
"He is coming," Morbus said, hollowly. "An honor of sorts."
Gardas closed his eyes.
"He is coming for me. I escaped once before. I should not have. My fate was written the day I stepped through the gates of dawn."
Gardas stepped away from the edge of the cistern. He did not wish to see the swamp of dead universes swirling below, or the thing rising from within them. The thing that had been trying to claim his soul since before the burning of Domenus Harbor, in one way or another. He looked up and saw the others approaching.
"Stay back!" he roared.
He looked at Morbus.
"Keep them back! Keep them from seeing that, if you can. Soon, that will not be an option."
Gardas shook his head. The ground trembled beneath his feet. It felt as if the garden was set to tear itself apart. Perhaps Nurgle had grown bored and had decided to reshape it all again.
"Much is demanded," he said. "Of those to whom much is given," Morbus said.
"Lead them to glory, Morbus," Gardas said softly. "Temper them, as I might have. Be the light that guides them." He took a breath and stepped to the edge of the cistern. His hands tightened on his weapons. He wanted to run, to leave this place, to see the stars again. But the voices cried out, and he could not turn away from such pain. He would not, whatever the cost.
"What do you think you are doing?" "If Nurgle wants me, I will go to him. I will carry the light of Sigmar's wrath into the dark, as only the faithful can."
Morbus laughed softly and extended his staff, blocking Gardas.
"I think not." "What?" "I think I have waited all of my life for this one moment," Morbus said. "I was ancient before I heard Sigmar's call, and I have only grown more ancient still in the centuries since. I am old, and I am tired, but I have one storm yet left in me, a storm bolstered by the souls of the living and the dead alike."
He looked at Gardas, lightning trailing from his eyes.
"I think you are wrong, my friend. This is not your doom. It is mine."
"Morbus," Gardas began. Morbus flicked a finger, and Gardas was hurled backwards by a flash of celestial energies. He struggled to his feet, smoke rising from his armor.
"I know now why I came here with you. In death, we prove ourselves worthy of life. The fifth canticle."
Morbus unclasped the remains of his cloak and let it crumple to the ground. He cast aside his staff.
"Our souls are pure, and by their light is darkness banished. I hold an army within me now. You are the sword,
Grim is the shield, but I am become the hammer stroke, which puts an end to the conflict.
He stepped to the edge of the great cosmic cistern. He stared down into untold abysses of foulness, into the very eyes of the Lord of all things. And Morbus Stormwarden laughed. He spread his arms. Lightning swelled out around him, melting the stones to slag and driving back the mass of demons which surrounded the remaining stormcasts.
This is why we are here, Goddess. This is the first blow and the last. This is the settling of a question millennia old.
Goddess lunged, reaching for him. Morbus leapt. He fell into the black, a shining comet of azure. The rising presence paused in its ascent. Something that might have been a hand, miles across and as wide as a universe, reached up to intercept the light. Fingers closed. The light was gone. Snuffed. Nurgle screamed. The light returned. A spark at first. Then a blazing column of fire and heat, spearing upwards through the black, pursued by the agonized screams of a demon god. 20 souls, 30, more, all those who'd fallen in this diseased realm, rising up at last to the forges of Azir. The light swept out as it rose, filling the amphitheater. Demons screamed as they were reduced to floating motes of ash. Everything wavered and came apart, reduced to shards of darkness. The light grew brighter and brighter until it was the only thing Gardas could see. He felt a wrenching sensation deep within him, and then he was rushing upwards, carried on wings of lightning and thunder. Below him, he could see the darkness returning in the wake of the light's ascent. He could hear the enraged bellows of a consciousness as old as the stars. Neither Nurgle nor his garden could be so easily destroyed, but they could be hurt. They could be reminded of why they had once feared the storm, and should do so again. Reminded, warned, challenged.
Who shall carry my light into the darkness?
Sigmar's voice whispered.
Only the faithful, Gardas said. He closed his eyes and let the light carry him home.